Thursday evening, it means we have a great person in a seat to celebrate on Personality Profile. We have a journey to go through. Yeah, someone's life, how colorful it's been, and the lessons that we all can share in and probably learn from. So welcome along. We're live on our Facebook page. If you want to check out the video to this conversation, you can do that, and you can share it with your friends and family and let them know that Personality Profile is on live on your radio. So I'll tell you about my guest this evening. Today we are celebrating an insurance guru. Yeah, a guru in the insurance industry. For over four decades, he has worked as an insurance and risk management practitioner and lawyer. He's a member of the ministerial committee working on a new insurance bill to replace the current regulatory law and the commissioner's committee on compulsory fire and liability insurances, which he actually chairs. Yeah.
Chaired.
Yeah, he delivers lectures across West Africa covering insurance and risk management, the international motor insurance as a brown card, strategic management, and acts as a consultant to insurance companies, institutions, and individuals. He's a lecturer at the West Africa Insurance Institute in The Gambia and the Insurance College in Ghana, where he teaches law relating to business and insurance, liability insurance, and surety contracts. He's a senior member of the Ghana Bar Association, board chair of Danlaw Rural Bank Limited.
Some of those things are in the past.
Yeah, we're going through the past, actually. Yes. So, yeah, let me tell you all about it. He was actually elected to the board of the ARB Apex Bank as well, somewhere in 2016, thereabouts. He's been a director at the Bank of Baroda, Ghana, CDH Insurance, director at CGH Life Insurance Company, chairman of the ECOWAS Brown Card, Ghana Bureau, the chairman of the ECOWAS Ghana Brown Card Permanent Secretariat as well in Lomé, Togo. He's an active Rotarian and a member of the Rotary Club of Accra as well. He holds an executive MBA from the Ghana Institute. Accra South. Yes, okay. We'll keep correcting as we go along. Yes, he holds an executive MBA from the Ghana Institute of Management and Public Administration, GIMPA. He's a barrister at law, of course. He's a fellow of the Chartered Insurance Institute of London. Holds a diploma in insurance, and just like me, he also offered social sciences at KNUST. So that's what we have in common. Yeah,
well,
he's
thank
currently
you. Nice to know.
Yes. So she also, an alumni of KNUST, alumnus of KNUST. Let me say, chief executive officer of Risk Management and Advisory Services Limited, Mr. Larry Kwesi Jage, Esquire, is my guest.
Thank you very
Anula.
Much.
Anula. Or how do you say that in Gonja? Good evening. How do you say that in Gonja?
I'm not a Gonja person, even though I grew up in Damango.
Oh, okay. But you speak the language?
No, I've forgotten it.
You've forgotten all of it?
I left Damango in 1973.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
I see. Well, I got wind that you grew up there, so I thought maybe you would have picked up the language. And
From there, I went to Yeni Secondary School. A lot of people assume I attended or I grew up in the south or somewhere in the water region.
But you didn't?
No, I grew up in the north.
Wow.
I only came down for 6 months in the south.
Yeah.
And then to KNUST.
Okay.
In our time, it was called UST.
UST, yes.
And before then, I did see something at St. Paul's Secondary School, Deno.
Okay.
And to KNUST.
We'll get through all that.
Yeah.
You know, let me first of all congratulate you on the many achievements that you've had. I think recently as well, you were honored for your contribution to the insurance industry.
Yes.
And I think it's worth celebrating. So congratulations for all that you've done for the industry.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
and
yes.
Thanks to the industry.
In fact, when I was done with the intro, the first message that came on our WhatsApp number is a very short message: "Guru by all standards and a great lawyer." There you go. That's that on the screen.
Wow.
There. So, well, if you're listening in and you want to send a message or you want to ask Mr. Larry Jage a question, you can actually send it to us on WhatsApp 055-1111997. Okay. We get to learn a bit more about his life story and all that he's achieved in over four decades in the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back, would you say you're happy with the life you've lived, especially with regards to your career and all that you have achieved?
I would say absolutely happy. Even though it did not start so comfortably, but over the years I have come to love the industry, and also I have come to love the things we have done together the last 3 to 4 decades, especially the last 20 years. A lot of changes have been made in the way the insurance is practiced in Ghana. And I must say I'm happy to be part, or I must say I have contributed to some of those changes.
Yeah. What would you say is your proudest achievement?
There are so many, sometimes I wonder, but it has a lot to do with when we had to take a decision to reverse a very negative trend in the industry, that is to address the issue of granting credit. It got to a stage, most companies were so challenged that the National Insurance Commission took a decision that we have to stop this negative trend. And a committee was formed, and I was asked to chair the committee. And we came out with what we call the no premium, no cover. That eventually turned the fortunes of most of the companies around.
Okay.
The situation was so bad that halfway through the following year, companies would still have over 30-40% of their income still outstanding or yet to be collected. And if you understand the nature or the practice of insurance, that is not something good for an insurance company. Maybe the fact also that I have been part of the two last laws governing insurance practice. The previous one, which is at 724, I was secretary to the market committee.
Okay.
The current law, which is at 1061, I was part of the team that worked with the consultant to come out with the law.
Okay.
So people sometimes tease me and say, you put your law. when they are challenging, yeah, they will say, your law.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the industry perspective. You, yeah, personally, if you look back, what really makes you happiest?
Growing up, I have always wanted to be my best at everything. And I must say, the father worked towards getting to the top of our industry is something that really gives me a lot of joy.
Right. Is there something that you wish you had done that you didn't do?
You know, I will tell you a very funny thing. It was not my plan to work in the insurance industry.
Oh.
I entered by luck or some fluke. I wanted to be a banker. In fact, when even I started working at the then State Insurance Corporation, I went for an interview to go to Commercial Bank.
Really?
Yes, and I was almost true. But the last question they asked me, are you working? And I said, I'm working at SIC. And so it's also a financial institution. Why would you want to leave? You block somebody's chance. So I went back to work and told my friends who were going to go for the interview the following day that, tell them you're not working.
You're not working.
So one of the things I wish I had done was to be a banker.
Yeah.
But
what was it about banking that, you know?
You know how time, you are either working with the minds of an insurance company or a bank. those were things everybody aspired to. But before I left the university, I said, I want to be a banker. That was it.
Okay.
And you'll be shocked by the second preference.
What was
it? I wanted to be a policeman.
Dr. Dan Paris should hear this.
I wanted to be a policeman. I went for selection.
Oh, you actually went for it?
Yes, but I didn't go through the process. When I got there, I was working at SIC again. When I saw the crowd, I was a junior, a young graduate.
Uh-huh.
My absence would be noted by the end of the day. So I rushed back to the office, and that was the end of the dream of becoming a policeman.
So, just because there was probably a long queue and there were too many people to go through.
There was a lot of people. A lot of people. So I got in a bit late. I would have queued.
By now, I'll be interviewing former IGP.
I'm not too sure about that. With some of my principals, maybe they would have chunked me out long ago.
Are you serious?
Yes,
because you have the physique for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine you in your.
But I thought you would ask me why I wanted to be a policeman.
Why did you want to be a policeman? I was getting there.
I realized when you come out of the police college, they'll give you a car and a bungalow. So that was it. Those were the attractions. I'll get a car and a bungalow. That was all. And a free accommodation immediately. So, yeah, that's really were things I wanted to do.
I see.
Insurance. I was home when a friend came to me and said, "Will you want to work in the insurance industry?" But then we're about to finish national service.
Okay.
Because his mate, who was then the special assistant to the chief executive of SIC, mentioned it to him, but he said he wasn't interested.
Okay.
So he mentioned it to me, and I went. When they gave me a letter, I went for the interview.
And that was it.
And
you didn't really have any prior insurance knowledge because you did social science.
Yes,
in school.
I didn't have, but SIC had a unique system then. When they employ you, and they employed anybody or any people with all kinds of backgrounds, so they would train you for 3 months. You don't work.
Okay.
You go to their training school. At the end of the 3 months, you write an exam. Then again, for the next 3 months, they will attach you to the various departments.
Mm-hmm.
And the last week of the 6 month, you'll be given a form to indicate the department you want to go. That's something you would have chosen during your rounds.
Okay. Okay.
Or your trainee rounds. So I ended up in SIC. Whilst there, I tried commercial bank and the police. But I have enjoyed my stay in the insurance industry. It has offered a lot of opportunities.
Right, right.
One thing I like doing is traveling. That has, the industry has offered a lot of opportunities for traveling.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you lecture across Africa.
Yeah, mainly across West Africa.
Across West Africa and all. So you do a lot of traveling.
I do a lot.
And you still do that even now, don't you?
No, a lot is pleasure now.
Oh, now a lot is pleasure.
Though I still attend professional conferences and all that, but I scarcely do presentations.
Oh, okay. Mm. So what informs your pleasure destinations? Which destinations do you normally do in recent times?
Countries I've never been to.
Okay.
And then exotic places.
Like where?
Mauritius.
Mauritius, okay.
Namibia.
Oh.
Places that people normally
wouldn't go.
Are places I like going.
Oh, I see. And where are the other destinations you plan to go to?
In Africa, the island of is it Gabon? What's the name?
Which island is that?
Oh, why have I forgotten the name? One of the airlines.
Okay.
And then I've done the Caribbean cruise.
Oh, okay.
On my 60th birthday, so.
Wow.
With my daughter and friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the face of life that
I've gone to a lot of places, so I don't have any too many attractions now. I've always loved Thailand. I've been there once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good stuff. Anyway, but let's start from the beginnings, because earlier you said, you know, it didn't all start rosy like that. But let's start from where you're from. I actually thought that you're probably
from the north.
From the north, because I know you grew up in Damongo and all of that. But you're actually an Ebe.
I'm an Ebe. I'm from Anyako in the Kata municipality.
So let me tell you something interesting. We just received a message on our WhatsApp platform. Anita, if you can open up that message, please tell him Anyako is proud to have him as a part of us. He should keep up the good work and make his experience flow to the younger generations. Yes. That's from Tom Brown. Yes. So your Anyako people are tuned in and they are listening
all
to you as well.
All Jagis are from Anyako, even if you find them in Krobo.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Jagis in Krobo land. They are my descendants of my grandfather.
Okay, okay,
he was
okay.
A storekeeper there.
Right.
Yes, and Lome, they are all from Anyako.
I see. Yes. Well, my producer Crispy is just telling me you are referring to Cape Verde.
Yes, Cape Verde.
Cape Verde. That's...
No, I've been to Cape Verde.
Hey, okay.
this is down south.
This is down south?
Yes.
I see.
Off the coast of South Africa, a little bit up.
Seychelles?
No, I've been to Seychelles.
You've literally been everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know the number of countries you've been to?
In Africa, about 38.
Globally?
Globally, from Asia to America, maybe another 40 or more.
I think that maybe at some point we need to get travel
One
tips
thing
from
you. Should
you.
Know, my first degree was geography.
Oh, okay. Social science.
Yeah.
That makes two of us, actually. Yeah. I also did geography at Kenya University.
You see.
Okay, so let's talk about Anyako. Jifa in Tema, she says that they call you Uncle Kwesi.
Yes.
Yes, she just sent in the message and says you're from Anyako, but you reside in Keta.
Jifa, that's my friend's daughter, I should think.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure.
From
I'm sure
Tema,
that. Yeah, community 10 in Tema.
Yes.
Yes, yes, that's Jifa who's listening as well. So she mentioned that you reside in Keta, but you're from Anyako.
Anyako, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's where you were born.
I was born in Keta.
Okay. And
my parents lived in Keta.
Okay. What were they into at the time?
My father owned transport. My mother was a trader.
So how was growing up?
Not easy. I'm from a very huge polygamous family.
How many wives did your father have?
16.
Wait.
16. I had 61 of us.
He had 61 children?
Yes.
From 16 wives?
But we are the closest polygamous family in the world. We don't know the difference between our mothers.
Wow.
Yes, we are very, very close.
61 children? Yeah. Did you live together?
Yes. No, not really. Quite a number of us live at home with him. He had a huge house. But the others came for long vacations.
Okay.
So we bonded very closely.
But you said, what was your father into again?
Transport. Everybody in Keta knew him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he a wealthy man?
I wouldn't say very wealthy, but he could manage. But he had a lot of siblings also. So a lot of us ended up with our uncles, older siblings and all that.
Okay. And how many wives?
I just mentioned 16.
No. I mean, how many wives were in the house that you lived
two.
In at a time?
Two.
Two at a time?
The first two.
The first two. And your mom was one of them?
Yes.
Okay. And it was.
But that was not the determinant. There were others who lived in the house whose mothers were not living there.
Okay.
Mm.
And how was it so harmonious? Was it even harmonious or?
Very harmonious. I just said it, that we are the polygamous family in the world where we don't have issues.
Wow.
My favorite brother is not my mother's child.
Mm.
And my favorite sister is not my mother's child.
Mm.
You get a relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens.
Is this something you practiced too?
I have only one child.
Ah, okay. Okay. Why didn't you follow your father's steps?
Nobody did.
Why not?
His time really was different.
Okay. Mm. Okay. I see.
Are you surprised? You're an achieving man.
Yeah,
I know Furiata had a lot more.
Well, my side of Achim,
yes,
we didn't have the courage. We didn't have the courage.
Talking about courage, I don't think anybody in this world that will have that kind of courage.
Yeah, yeah. I think times have changed.
Yeah, times really have changed.
Yeah.
Those days they could afford it easily without any problem.
So they just sent in a message and says, Lexus, try this polygamy in our generation and you see the woman will poison you. Ralph in boom. I know, right? Anyway, Ralph, thank you so much for your message. So this is a very big family. Mm-hmm. You all had dreams and aspirations, but your father had to take care of all of you.
Yes, I mentioned earlier his siblings also provided him with a lot of support.
Oh, he needed the support?
No, his siblings took some of us.
But his siblings, weren't they also busy giving birth to their own?
No.
So he was the...
was the least educated amongst them. And he was the head of family for a very long time.
Okay.
When even he was young, he was head of family.
Okay.
We are quite a big family.
Obviously.
This Ronketa would tell you that we are many.
And how did you end up in Damongo?
It's a very funny story. Should I be saying this, Sonny? I was quite smart, but also troublesome.
Mm.
So they realized very early, if I lived in Qatar, I'll stop school at a stage.
Mm.
Yeah, so I had never traveled out of Qatar until that time, and I came for holidays in Accra, living in a bungalow for the first time.
Mm.
I was moved to Kumasi to spend another few days with another auntie.
Mm-hmm.
My father thought so, their last born, who was then a nursing sister at Okonfonoche. She's alive, she's 90 to 94.
Wow.
Yeah. My very favorite auntie, she lives in Hona. So I said, which long back is this? Very interesting long back. Before I realized we were Tamale bound, then we got to Damango. Then I knew we were going to my older sister, who was a nurse at St. Joseph Hospital, Damango. I guess a big hospital now, then it wasn't. And I think there's a nurses training even attached to it.
Okay.
And I was sent to Damango Middle Boarding School. And then trouble started.
What trouble?
I said I won't stay. I wanted to go back to Qatar. With all due respect to my friends from now, I'd never seen a touch house. There was none in Qatar.
Yeah.
I said I won't stay here. And the boarding school, we're living in touch houses. I said, maybe I want to go to Qatar. But within a few weeks, I made friends.
Yeah.
And I was young, so.
Yeah.
So I did middle school for 1 to 2. Damango middle body is not Damango secondary school. When I was in 1 to 2, then they decided to turn the place into a secondary school.
Okay.
Luckily for me, I passed common entrance. So they were to move out to some building somewhere, and I stopped going to school.
You stopped?
Yes, because I was going to go to secondary school. So I stopped.
Interesting.
And I wanted to go to Laboni Secondary School because I knew my auntie's bungalow was next door.
Yeah.
They changed it that this boy shouldn't come down south. So,
well, why were they so worried about you at the time?
They were sure I could do well in life. Then maybe they saw it quite early.
And they didn't want
so
you to.
So you know my siblings, the Jagis, the other go to Achimota Morley School or Kita Secondary School.
Mm.
So most of the others went to Achimota, Kita Secondary School, and Morley School.
Okay. Mm. Is it because you were adventurous? You were.
I had some very adventurous friends.
Okay, so it was the friends.
By age 10. I were up to all kinds of tricks.
You got into trouble a lot?
Not that kind of trouble. I left home. I went to live with my friend, my one-arm friend. Everybody in Qatar knows him up to today.
Your one-arm friend?
Friend, yes.
Okay.
And when my father tried to get me home, the father told him, they are all from Anyako, so we are from the same village. Let him stay here. Because at that stage, the decision was taken to take me out of Qatar.
Okay.
It was either to live with one of my uncles or aunties in Accra or Kumasi, or go up there, and they felt the North would be very good. And I've really, really loved. I look back with nostalgia on my stay in the North.
Yeah.
Especially in Damango, my middle school days. And I want to give a shout out to the children of one Mr. Jokoto, who was resident in Damango, who eventually became my very close family. And then later, the friends I made in Damango.
Yeah.
And then my friends in Yendi Secondary School. I'm very close to Yendi Secondary School.
Right.
Absolutely cool. I'm very active in the old student
association.
Something everybody should do.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
And also my sixth form school anyway. Until 3 days ago, I was the board chairman of my sixth form school.
Which school is that?
St. Paul's.
St. Paul's. Oh, okay. Until 3 days ago.
Yes.
Ah. You handed over?
I resigned.
You resigned?
Yes.
Too busy?
Yeah, too busy.
Or you've paid your dues, basically.
No, I'm a bit too busy.
I'm surprised you're too busy now, because this is the part you should be rest. Anyway, you're traveling a lot. So
I still work.
You still work?
Yeah. I still work. I still do a lot of consultancy.
Yeah. Okay.
At the National Insurance Commission, for example.
Right.
There's still a lot of work we are doing in functioning out regulations. We got the regulation to the art out a few days ago.
Okay.
But there are related issues we need to address immediately. So this month, for example, we are going to have about 2 or 3 meetings.
Okay.
To address a lot of things. So I still have a lot on my plate.
I understand. I understand. Okay. So now you're down to KNUST to study social sciences.
Yes.
What made you choose social science?
I wanted to, my life is too full of things I wanted to do. I wanted to be an economist, but my math wasn't too good. Even though I did well in economics at A levels, I realized I find it very difficult because of math. Or calculations. I had a discussion with my engineer friend, who were mates from CIS, and we all went to KU and USD. And I told him recently that math is a lot of common sense. But I think it was the way it was taught that frightened some of us. And it's true. Because insurance, you have to do statistics and quantitatives and all that.
Yeah.
It was from these experiences that I realized some of the things are practical. They are everyday things. But we're scared by the way the teachers taught us.
Yeah.
So I had to drop economics and do geography, sociology. If not, maybe I would have been an economist.
You know, I actually laugh because those are the two subjects I also did at KNUST.
Hey! That's interesting.
Yeah. I did geography and sociology as well. Hey, okay. So now you're done. Done with your national service. You got a job at SIC.
Yeah.
You tried to sneak out to the police service. Yeah,
and all Ghana Commercial Bank.
And then you came back.
Yeah, yes.
And how long did you stay there?
I was in SIC for 12 and a half years.
12 and a half years.
And luckily, I had good managers. So I also immediately wrote the professional exams.
Okay.
So I had quite some rapid rise compared to some of my colleagues I joined with.
Okay.
Yeah, those days, our managing director, Joe Donko, may his soul rest in peace, wanted to change the place. So he encouraged us to write a professional exam. So he will send you out to go and do other courses, like actuarial science and all this, which is not very common here now.
Yeah.
In the past, you have to go out. So I stayed in SIC for 12 and a half years, rose to the rank of manager.
You became a manager?
Yes. And then whilst in SIC, I wrote the exam to go to the law school.
Okay.
And passed.
Yeah.
So I went to the law school.
Right.
I became a lawyer while still at
SIC.
Yeah.
What made you move from SIC?
It's interesting. We had a lot of seniors, and some of us became restless.
How do you mean?
My department, even when I became a full manager, I still had about 3 people ahead of me.
Oh, right.
So we started looking for opportunities out. Then some people bought the company that eventually became Metropolitan, and they came for me.
Okay, Metropolitan.
Yes, yeah, which
insurance.
Is now Hollard.
Hollard Insurance. Okay. So you were poached at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. But you were keen to move. It's instructive, the thing you say, that you had some people ahead of you.
Yes.
And so it was going to slow your progression.
Yes, yes. Your growth will get stunted.
Yeah.
So I around the time I moved, there were quite a number of movements. Ghana Re was then reorganized. Some people moved to Ghana Re.
Ghana Re Insurance.
Yes. And then around that time too, a lot more companies, private companies, were coming on stream.
Okay.
And there was no other place to go and look for people.
Mm.
It's either enterprise or you go to SIC.
SIC.
And SIC had the numbers.
Okay. Okay. Mm.
So quite a number of us moved around the same time.
Mm.
That was in the mid-90s.
Yeah. For young people in the corporate world who find themselves in your position at the time, where, you know, they want some sort of progression, but they know that it probably is going to take some time and whatnot. What advice would you give them?
Sometimes you don't jump too early. You have to be absolutely sure about where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people get their professional life stunted as a result of such movements, especially if you don't think it through.
Okay.
One or two frustrations shouldn't be the basis for leaving. I've observed that if you just get frustrated and without any plan you jump ship, you may end up destroying your professional career.
Okay.
So be absolutely sure, but also be sure that you understand the workings of your profession. If not, when you move, you be found wanted wherever you go, and then you end up absolutely frustrated. And then regret sets in, and then you may destroy your life. I was absolutely sure about moving because Metropolitan then was financed by people like Sam Jonah.
Okay.
And there was a lot of noise about that, about the place. So everybody wanted to move there. So when I was invited for the interview, I went. I was in the final year in the law school.
Oh, okay.
When they approached me. And they said, okay, we are going to engage you. Go and finish the law. Still remain in SIC and finish the law school. Then when you finish, we'll come for you.
Wow.
So I finished the law school in 1996.
Okay.
And joined Metropolitan, I think, the same year or early the following year.
Okay. Okay. And you've actually moved around a little bit, not too much.
Not too much, really.
Because I think you did CDH as CEO as well.
Yes.
CDH Insurance. Yes. And then
I did 8.5 years. There seems to be a half always at... Metropolitan.
Okay. And where did you move to? CDH?
Yeah, I moved to CDH. They also approached me.
Right.
They had challenges and there was a regulatory requirement that they should change the top management. They should get a new chief executive, a new head of operations, a new head of everything except finance.
Okay.
So they went on the market looking for staff. So they talked to me.
Okay.
Initially, I was a bit scared because at that time, they didn't even have license. But the team we built turned the company around within 2 years.
So what made you decide to go, even though there were all these challenges?
I was general manager at Metropolitan. I became general manager marketing and sales. Then became general, added the responsibility of general manager life and health. I was running the two. Then it was decided to hive off the life operations. And they asked me to head that. I wasn't too keen on life.
So, why?
My professional direction has always been towards the nine life.
Okay.
Even though I headed the life and health, my preference was always for the
non-life
operations.
Okay.
So when they came along, I decided to leave.
You decided to leave. Mm-hmm. And what challenges did you face when you moved? Especially knowing that they didn't even have a license at the time and you had to actually build it from ground up.
Yeah, because of the condition of the company at that time, the board was very open to change. They were prepared to support us as a team.
Okay.
The top, apart from the finance head, we had all come from outside.
Mm.
So they were prepared to support us to change things.
Okay.
The first thing we did was to let a number of staff leave.
To let what?
A number of the staff off. It was very difficult. Very difficult. I recall when I'm handing over the letter to them, I'll start crying.
Oh.
It was not very, very easy.
Yeah.
Because there were many.
Mm.
Yeah. Until one of the women entered and started crying. And when I also started crying, she said, "No, me, my cry is cry of happiness. So I have 1.5 years to go. And I need the money to look after my son in medical school. So the money you give me will help me through the process." It was, and one of the guys who really confronted me came back a year later and brought me a lot of gifts.
He confronted you?
Yes, he confronted me that I had come and I'm sacking them. But it was for the good of the company, to some of them also. It turned out positive. This particular guy came back, that he took the money and started charcoal business.
Wow.
He would go to Afram Plains, buy charcoal and come and distribute in Accra. And when he came, his trousers was up here. He had become a lookout burger. And he came to thank me.
Wow.
Because his point was that if he had gone on retirement,
yeah,
he really would have just ended up on pension, but he was doing his own business.
Yeah.
So it turned out good for some of them.
Okay, great. Yeah. What kind of leader are you?
A driver.
But slave driver?
Not really a slave driver. I try to carry everybody along. I can be hard, but also very soft sometimes.
In fact, this question even should not be for you. If you're listening in and you've probably been in his team, you should let us know.
Oh yes, a lot of I have maintained relationship with a lot of people I work with, especially from Metropolitan to CDH. And I have a lot of mentees in the industry who are managing directors.
Yeah.
Maybe they will call me, about five.
Okay.
Yes.
You know what? Interestingly, I just got a message as well from Nene Yimte in Dasuma, who says, Lexis, I remember him very well. After my national service, I got a job at Primus Advertising.
Yes.
I was given CDH insurance account to handle. I must say, he's a very principled man, but very interesting to work with. God bless him. Wow. Okay, good stuff. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And there's a message here from Delphinus in Accra, who says, good evening, Alexis. Greetings to your guests. His father did very well to have kept his family together. I like his marital mathematics. Mm. Just look at the two numbers, 1 and 6. That's 61 children and 16 wives. He just flipped the numbers and it happened. Anyway, good stuff. Okay, so that's the kind of leader that you have. Now, let's talk about the people that you work with, and I'm interested in this because you had to lay off some workers, you had to now hire probably new people and whatnot. Mm. What are some of the things you look out for in your workers, apart from the technical insurance knowledge that you probably need to come
up
with?
I'm happy you added that. You know, I've had to work with a lot of people, but some of the best people I've worked with are not people who you would say have a lot of qualifications. Mm. I don't think whether it would be good to mention it, but one of my favorite people in this industry didn't come with qualifications. Mm. He rose through the rank, and then we push him to school and all that. But he's one of the best.
It's okay to mention their names. Yeah. You can celebrate them.
Yeah, George Adai.
Okay.
He's one of the people I respect technically and professionally. If he's here, I'm sure he'll be listening. If he's aware of this, he'll definitely listen. So it is not all about qualifications. I know people with a lot of qualifications who got retrenched along the line.
Mm.
Somewhere in my group, somewhere after us at SIC, they didn't make it. So it's about learning the job.
Okay.
And importantly, learning to be part of a team. That is always difficult for some people.
Mm.
And always realize that you're dealing with people with different personalities.
Yeah,
we all come from different homes, and the way we are brought up are not necessarily the same. So you must give some and take some.
Yeah.
So it's important. There may be difficulties, but you must understand the work you do. You must learn to work with people, and you must learn to obey authority, because companies are structured.
Yeah.
Sometimes people will say, oh, I have to work with people younger than me, and I can't, and then they start giving problems. But I've had experiences with people. I remember Mr. Nketiah. I need to call him. And I remember Mr. Nketiah, I was his supervisor at SIC. He left school long before me, but he went to Nigeria and came back. So he had to work under me. He was such a good person to work with. Mr. Nketiah, if you are out there, good evening to you.
Yeah.
He respected me, even though he was far, far older than me.
Okay.
And we bonded absolutely well. So management or workplace relationship has nothing to do with age.
Yeah.
If not, Obama won't rule America.
Right,
he was 49 when he became president, yeah. Also. Yeah.
Jifa just shared with us that one of your mentees is Frederick Saka.
Yes, he's the managing director of Vanguard.
Yeah, the MD for Vanguard.
Yes,
right.
Yes, okay, he's okay. Really, really my mentee. Everybody calls him Mr. Jage's son.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Good stuff.
And he's a smart guy. He also did social sciences at Kane University.
All right. Okay. Nice. So what's been the biggest challenge of your career in total, if you had to?
I think, I don't know whether I should talk about a specific situation. After leaving SIC to join Metropolitan, for some odd reason, I went in as a head of department. They decided to recruit somebody as a director of marketing. Mm. It nearly ended my work relationship at Metropolitan. It was a bit uncomfortable, and the guy was a bit uncomfortable with me. I've already mentioned that I sometimes drive, and my principles sometimes make me say everything.
Okay.
Yes.
Say it as it is.
I will always say it as it is. So I nearly ended my career at Metropolitan Insurance, but an elderly person asked me to persevere. It wasn't too long. The person himself left.
Oh.
Under very funny circumstances. And I was called in by the majority shareholder, Mr. Sam Jonah, and told me they made a mistake, so I shouldn't leave.
Why was it a mistake?
If the person did not perform as they expected, they would regard it as a mistake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your biggest regret?
Do I have a regret? I always try to find a way around issues, so I don't have regrets.
What's your greatest?
Except that sometimes I can be a bit too abrasive.
Okay.
So I wish I could manage it, especially at meeting. But I also know how to say I'm sorry.
You wish you could manage it now?
Even up to today. It's
now,
better.
It's better now. It's
better
now. Now that you finished causing all the chaos. I see. What's your greatest fear?
I don't have any. No. I am a head on this. I believe you take life as it comes.
Right.
So I really don't have any fears. I'm not afraid of death.
Mm.
It will happen to everybody. Maybe I would have said death, but I'm not.
Right.
Yes. Okay, maybe I have some.
Okay, like what?
The fear of failure.
Okay, that.
Yes, yeah. I don't want to fail.
Right. Right.
And nobody should ever be caught in that trap.
Yeah.
Though I have failed. Challenges come and they will go away.
Yeah.
Definitely they would go away. And there's always a beginning and an end to everything.
Yeah.
So when you are down, just take it as a temporary event.
Yeah.
That will pass.
I was going to ask for a piece of advice, but I think we'll just wrap it up with this particular one. I think it's very good. It's a very great piece of advice,
yeah.
And I've learned so much from you.
Thank you.
I'm grateful
very
that
much.
You got time to share your life with us.
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
The many things that you've taught us this evening as
yes,
well.
Yes, and I like the fact that we have a lot in common.
Yes, we do. We really do. Thank you so much,
thank
Mr. Jerry.
Thank you.
It was nice hosting you. And let me say thanks a lot to my brother Maulu Zogbenu as well.
Yeah.
For making it happen. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so this is how we wrap it up. Uncle Ken will be on your radio very